ברוכים הנמצאים בחנוכה שמח. We have a great task ahead of us this afternoon. Traditionally, this is a class in the Parashat HaShavua, and we are studying Parashat Miketz. I would not deny anybody of the pleasure of enjoying the parasha, but as well, we must say something regarding the holiday that we find ourselves in the midst of, Hanukkah. And then the challenge is, of course, to try to connect it, if that's possible. Thank you. But I don't want to get ahead of myself, so let's just go one step at a time. The parasha, it's an incredible parasha. It's in the middle of a drama that started last week, and it's not going to end for a few more weeks. So we're right in the midst of it. Paro has a dream, and he dreams about seven cows. Seven fat cows, and then he dreams about seven lean cows. And the Pasuk says, the Pasuk writes regarding the cows, that they came out of the Yeor, they came out of the Nile. Vatir'ena ba'ahu. But they didn't graze in the Nile. They weren't drinking the waters from the Nile, these cows. They were drinking the water from the Ba'ahu. What is Ba'ahu? So that she says, Ba'agam. And then he says some French word that sounds like the word marsh. It was like marshland next to the Nile. So the Pasuk says, Batarena Ba'ahu. Although, when I'm looking at Yosef's interpretation of the dream, I don't see him make a big deal of that. I see him talk about seven fat cows, that there's going to be 7 years of plenty. And seven skinny cows, there's going to be 7 years of famine. And that the skinny cows are going to eat the fat cows, that when the famine comes, you're not going to even remember that there was even a years of plenty. Because the skinny cows are going to eat the fat cows, and they're not going to even get any weight. That I all got in the dream interpretation, and it happened. But it doesn't... Yosef doesn't tell us anything about why they were grazing in the Ba'ahu. What does that mean anyway? Anyway, we continue. So the Pasuk writes that he explains it to Paro, and Paro is very, very impressed. And he tells Yosef that as a result of your phenomenal interpretations, so you are going to be the viceroy of Egypt, Ish Navon v'Chacham. And then he gives the advice what to do, and he says, Atatihi al beti, you're going to be the manager of my household. Valpicha yishak kol ammi, and the entire nation will receive sustenance through you. So he makes him viceroy / finance minister. Paro says, I'm only greater than you in title, in the chair, but other than that, you have all the keys. He takes off his ring, he gives the ring to Yosef, he takes off his garments, and he gives him the special royal garments, they put him on the chariot. And all of a sudden, the years of plenty begin. Yosef, mind you, is 30 years old when he stands in front of Paro. That's, just to keep the math, because this is significant. It means he went down when he was 17. So now he's 30. So for 13 years, Yosef is not the king. Yosef is suffering whatever he's doing for 13 years. He was thrown in prison for 12 of them. Actually, and the year before he was thrown into prison, he worked for Potiphar for 1 year. So 13 years before he rises to... I think that's significant. Anyway, it says V'ta'as ha'aretz b'sheva shnei ha'sava. In the 7 years of famine, the land produced plentiful amount of product. And the pasuk says, likmatzim. Likmatzim means. So the Targum Unkelu says, le'otzarim. That all the food that they produced, Yosef had put in storage. Likmots means to collect and to save. So he squirreled away all the food because he understands that there's going to be a famine one day. So therefore, he didn't squander it during the 7 years of plenty like most people would have done. There was a surplus, so the nature of a person is to squander when there's a surplus. He didn't squander it, he put it in the likmatzim that she says, komets al komets, yad al yad ayu otzarim. So they collected a little, they put it in the storage. And then the Torah says, the famine starts. Okay? Ladies, I didn't say anything yet, I'm just reviewing the story for myself, just so we can remember what happened before we make the analysis. We just have to remember from year to year, we have to remind ourselves of the text. But now all of a sudden the famine came. The people are begging Yosef, or Paro, we need bread. Yosef is the one in charge. Asher yomar lachem ta'asu. And whatever he tells you to do, you do. So imagine that. Paro gave Yosef what we would call in French carte blanche. He told him, whatever Yosef tells you to do, you do. So that she says, what was this carte blanche? Lefi shaya Yosef omer lahem shiyimolu. Yosef said to the people that they have to circumcise themselves. Ushebau etzel Paro ve'omrim kachu omer lahem. So they went back to Paro and they said, this guy over here, the power went to his head. He doesn't want to give us food until we circumcise ourselves. Amar lehem. So yes, but oh, smart. He says, I want to ask you a question. Why are you going to Yosef to get food? Didn't you save food? Where's all the food that you saved? Lama lo tzabartem bar. You knew the famine was coming. Amru lo asafnu. They said, we did collect and save. But what happened? Virkiva, it all spoiled. Amar lahem imken, Paro says, you see something strange here. All the stuff that you collected spoiled. All the stuff that Yosef collected didn't spoil. He's the only one that has non-perishable food in the whole country. His food, for somehow, is able to stay for 7 years. You can't keep something on the shelf for 7 years. They put expiration date a few months. And here Yosef's product, without air conditioning, without refrigeration, lasts for 7 years. So he says, Kol asher yomar lachem ta'asu. Hare gazara letevua berkiva. Yosef made a gezerah, a decree, that all the wheat besides him should spoil. Ma'im yigzur alein. What if he makes a gezerah on us? If he can make a gezerah on the wheat, he can make a gezerah on our bodies and we'll die. Therefore, don't start with Yosef. If he tells you to do a brit milah, do a brit milah. Well, I ask the simple question, what does Yosef want them to do a brit milah for? I mean, it's one thing that we have Jewish people to do a brit milah, I understand. But for Yosef to impose upon the Egyptians to do a brit milah, that's a... also a question that I had.
Who is saying all of this?
Who is?
Who is
the Torah? I don't know what it is. The Bible, Old Testament. What do you mean who? I don't understand your question. Oh, who says that? Rashi says that. Yeah, it sounds shocking. If you never heard this, you say, whoa, where did that come from? No, I also reacted like you the first time I heard it. Who said that? But it's that she's quoting a midrash. Incredible stuff. Anyway, One more pasuk in the parasha, and then we'll try to make sense of it, what's going on over here. Vayar Yaakov ki yesh shevet b'mitzrayim. Says Yaakov Avinu heard that there's food in Egypt, so he told his sons, go down to Egypt and get some food. You see, they were living in a famine-stricken land. Canaan, there was a famine. So he said to his kids, I see there's shevet in Mitzrayim. There's food in Mitzrayim, go down there and get some food. Rashi says, the word is written as shevet, but as you know, we don't have nekudot in the Torah, so the word can be read as well as sever. And the word sever means there's hope. So Rashi writes that Ra'ab espaklariyash shel kodesh. Yaakov had a spurt of Ruach HaKodesh. He didn't have prophecy, but it was a certain, I would call it a premonition. And what was the premonition? Sha'adayin yesh lo sevet b'Mitzrayim. There's hope for him in Egypt. He couldn't put his finger on it. What was it exactly? Later on he would find out that Yosef is alive. But at this point the pasuk says, ki yesh sevet. He saw that there's some hope for him and his family in Egypt. So he tells the brothers, go down. Go down. There's something in Egypt for us. Doesn't know what, but go down there. In next week's parasha, when Yaakov Avinu finally realizes that Yosef is still alive, so he says, he sends a message to his father that he wants him to come down. Ko amar bincha Yosef, he's telling the brothers, go tell our father. So says your son, Samani Elohim la'adon lechon Mitzrayim. God has made me the king of Egypt. Reda Eli, come down. Al ta'amor, don't delay. Though I don't know why Yaakov would delay. They haven't seen his son in 22 years. V'yashavta be'eretz Goshen. You live in Goshen? Now this is the pasuk that bothered me. V'chilkalti otcha sham. I'm going to support you. Don't worry, I'm going to give you parnasa. Oh, what? I thought he wasn't going to feed him. What is he going to tell his father? Come down to Goshen, come down to Egypt, and although I'm the king, but you know, you'll go find out what to do. I'm not taking care of you. He has to tell his father, v'chilkalti otcha. What, Yaakov thought he's going to go down to Egypt and Yosef is not going to feed him? Isn't that superfluous? I don't know. I didn't come to ask a million questions today. But I have to ask the question that I ask every year. And you don't find a great answer to this question. Although today we might have found a great answer. But you never find a great answer to the question. Yosef, I have no claim against you for the first 13 years that you were in Egypt, why you didn't send your father a message that you were alive. You were in a prison most of the time and you were working for somebody, you didn't have access. But you were a king for 9 years after that. The whole country is running on Yosef. He has the king's ring. He has all the food at his disposal. I mean, he can't send his father a message. By the way, forget about sending his father a message. It's only a 4 or 5 hour trip from the border of Egypt to Israel. Let him take a chariot, tell Paro, listen, I'm going away for 2 days, and I'll be back. Surprise his father, Dad, I'm alive, I know you're probably worrying about me. Where were you for the past 13 years? I couldn't call you, I was in jail. Okay, no problem. The first thing I got out of jail, I became the king, boom, I came to see you. Stop worrying, stop crying. Nothing, 9 years, nothing. I forget how we answer that question. Every year we ask that question, we give another way out of it. But nothing, I think sits well. Anyway, what I found today is a gift from God. It's none other than the approach of a rabbi called the Al-Sheikh. Rabbi Moshe Al-Sheikh. He's a rabbi that lived in Sfat about 500 years ago. He is the premier darshan of Sfat. The Arizal goes to the shiurim of the Al-Sheikh to hear his novel interpretations on the Torah. And he also, mind you, is a great darshan / mekubal. Anybody in that generation, you put a / mekubal if you're living in Sfat 500 years ago. It's the generation of Rabbi Moshe Cordovero, the Rabag, Tome Devorah. It's the generation of Rabbi Shlomo Elkabetz, the author of the Chadudi. It's the generation of Rabbeinu Ari, Rabbeinu Yitzchak Luria Ashkenazi. That's the famed Kabbalist. All of those Sadiqim are living in one neighborhood, if you could imagine. So Rabbi Moshe Al-Sheikh is part of the great group of Sadiqim. So he says over here a big Hiddush. And he writes, Rabotenu amru b'sefer ha-Zohar, Kishulach Yosef le-Mitzrayim, Yosef was sent to Egypt, according to the Zohar. Again, according to the simple interpretation, he was sent because the brothers hated him, because he had a ketoret pasim, he had some dreams, they resented him, they threw him into a pit, and they sent him down to Egypt. It was all about acrimony. The Zohar Kadosh gives you what's underneath the surface. What's the real reason why he was sent down to Egypt? He says, Lihiyot merkaba el ha-Shechina. And I explain these words to you. Merkaba, you know what a Merkaba is? A chariot. Now usually a chariot carries its passengers. However, there's another type of Merkaba, it's the Merkaba of Kiddusha. That Merkaba carries the Shekhinah. Shekhinah is God's presence. There's certain human beings that have the status of Merkaba de Kiddusha. Meaning, when the Shekhinah is looking for a place to rest, they rest on that Sadiq. That means he has such purity and such holiness that the Shekhinah finds no reason to keep away from this person. Not only that, but he actually is the chariot of the Shekhinah in the world. Yosef was that chariot. So when he goes down to Egypt, he's not alone in Egypt. The Pasuk says, Vayhi Hashem et Yosef. Vayhi Ish Matzliah. Yosef saw that. You obviously feel it. I don't know anybody that's a Merkabah to the Shekhinah to ask, but you have to imagine Yosef knows that the presence of God is on him, and that's why whatever he does, he's Matzliah. And as a matter of fact, people see that already about Yosef. They see that he's extraordinary. They see that he's a very, very special man. I mean, just put it this way. Paro meets him once, and the next thing he takes off his crown and gives it to him. It had to be that it was so obvious that Yosef was not a regular person. He's the Merkabah Shekhinah. So he writes, V'yitachen lefi zeh, shelachen nishar sham Yosef af la'achar mitato. Yosef remains in Egypt even after he dies. Whereas Yaakov would come down to Egypt, and then when he dies, they take his body out. Yosef's body cannot leave Egypt until the Jewish people leave Egypt. Because since the Shekhinah must be with the Jewish people while they're in Egypt, and Yosef, even if he's dead, his body is the Merkabat al-Shekhinah, so he must remain there. So he writes now a big Hiddush. He says, from the Zohar HaKadosh again, human beings have limbs, you have arms, yadayim, zir'ot, you have a mouth, that's a peh, you have eyes, that's called enayim. We have body parts. The Zohar HaKadosh says that just like the human has body parts, the ground also has body parts. Where do we see this?
So he says, שכמו שהאדם יש לו ראש, כן הארץ יש לה ראש. The ground has a ראש. Where do you see a ראש? כדכתיב, וראש אפרות תבל. The ground is called ראש. ידיים. It says, הנה הארץ רחבת ידיים. טבור, a belly button. פסוק is called טבור הארץ. Not only that, when Korah got swallowed in the ground, it says, ותפתח את פה הארץ. The mouth of the ground opened up. ותחת זרועות תבל. והארץ רחבת ידיים. All these words. And in every different area in the world, the ground represents a different body part. One of the body parts, you'll forgive me, is the parts of the private area of a person, which is called Erva. The Erva is the part that we cover. That's the part of immorality sometimes, or that's the part of reproduction. But if it's uncovered, it's called Erva. The land of Egypt is called Erva Ta'aris, because out of all the body parts that represents the land that's found in Egypt, it represents the part of Erva, not Yadayim, not Enayim. When the locust came, it says, "Vatechas et en ha'aris." The ground has an en. But at this time in Egypt, the part of the body that's represented in Eretz Mitzrayim is Ervat ha'aris, which means, he says, it is the most decadent, immoral place in the world. And then he writes, "Vehineh en safek." According to the Tum'ah that was in that place, there's no question that when the Jewish people are going to go down to Egypt, they're going to be drawn after that Tum'ah. You cannot not get influenced by it. If somebody went to Chernobyl after the nuclear reactor melted down, there's nuclear fallout. Not only in Chernobyl, but thousands of miles away, they felt the fallout. So the Al-Sheikh says, it's going to be impossible for the Jews to go down to this place called Ervat Mitzrayim, dirty place, immoral place. It's tangible. The Tumah is tangible. They're going to get influenced. So he says that when they went down to Egypt, they reached the 49th level of Tumah. But he writes, he says, if Yosef wouldn't have gone down to Egypt first, in order to clean the area or minimize the Tum'ah just a bit, they would have reached the 50th level of Tum'ah and they never would have left Egypt. So the Zohar says, since Yosef is the Merkabat Rishikhinah, he went down to Egypt to purify it, to make it suitable for the Jewish people to live. Guess what? Even after he did whatever he did, they still reached the 49th level. So yeah, how bad it was. But he says, if he wouldn't have gone down first and done whatever the tikkun he made in Egypt with the wife of Potiphar, and boy, the other items that he did, as we'll see, there is no way the Jews would have ever gotten out of Egypt. So he writes, he says, one of the things that became very, very tameh in Egypt was the food. The food was tamer. As we learned that the toxins don't remain in the air, they go into everything. Even if it's kosher food, but if it's in such a tamer place, Rambam writes, you are what you eat. And if Yosef or the brothers would have came down to Egypt with Yaakov Abinu, and they would have eaten from this food of Egypt, the Al-Sheikh says it would have caused such a tum'ah in their bodies, they would not be able to recover from it. So you cannot send the Jewish people out to Egypt. Not that there's not kosher food. It's kosher, the food's kosher. A piece of wheat is kosher. Nothing wrong with a piece of wheat. But it's worse than not kosher. It's poison. If the Jewish people are going to eat this food with all the tum'ah Mitzrayim on it, again, where does the food come from? The Ares. What is the Ares called? Ervat Ares. So whatever comes out of that ground is putrid. So what happens? So he comes along and he says, God does something incredible for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. Yosef is called Yosef HaSadiq. He's the perfect Sadiq. And all of a sudden, he becomes the finance minister. All the food now that grows must come through Yosef. Once Yosef takes the food and he puts it in the storage house, that food over there is tahor. That's not considered the food of Mitzrayim anymore. That's the food that comes from Yosef HaSadiq. And the food that the Tzadik has, that has no detrimental effect. That effect is tahor. So he writes, and he says,
Shekhinah
was with Yosef. The bread that Yaakov and his children would eat, that's the food that they're going to eat that came through Yosef's proprietorship. ולא באמצעות של מצרים. על כן סיבה השם את הברכה. And that's why God commanded in the 7 years of plenty that it is the 7 years of plenty food that's going to feed the years of famine. Because when the famine came, they're all eating the food of Yosef. That's kosher food. Not only is kosher food, it's pure food. None of the negative angels in the heaven, like the Mitzriim's angels, the Tum'ah, has any power. So when Yaakov Abinu's family comes down, there's nothing to plant in the ground. Whatever they're going to eat is Kodesh. If they would eat from that food, Chas v'Shalom, the Egyptians, Al-Sheikh says they never would have left Egypt. Forget about they never would have left Egypt. Yaakov wouldn't have eaten it. You think we're careful about kashrut? We're worried about bugs. We're worried about all sorts of labels and symbols. The tzaddikim, that's all they're worried about is kashrut. They won't eat something unless they refine it in 13 different sieves to make sure that it's 100% kasher. So Yosef understood. He's on a mission. Says the Al-Sheikh, Paro has a dream. He dreams that there are 7 fat cows which represent the 7 years of plenty. And they are grazing. But where are they grazing? Not in the Nile. The Nile River represents the Tumah Mitzrayim, Paro worshiped the Nile. The Egyptians felt that the Nile is a god. Whenever the Nile would overflow, they would say, the god of the Nile is giving us our sustenance. Yosef says, no, these 7 cows are not coming from the Nile. The years of plenty, but tid'ena ba'ahu. It's coming from a different place. Ba'ahu numerically equals 17. Bet, Aleph, Het, Vav. 17 is Tov. That the Parnassah in those 7 years is not coming from the Satra Hara, from the negative side. But Tir'ena Ba'ahu, it's going to come from a place of Tov. And where is that? From the Shekhinah. That part of the dream is very significant. This food that we're going to eat for the next 7 years, you never ate food like this. And it's not for the Egyptians. This is so my parents, when my father comes down, he'll have what to eat, and my brothers will have what to eat, and they won't get seduced by the Tumah Mitzrayim. And then what happens? He dreams another dream. The second dream was that he dreamt that there was storks. Remember the dream with the storks? On that pasuk it says, Vayishan vayahalom shenit, 7 stalks, olot bekane echad, biriyot vetovot. There were 7 healthy stalks, which again represents 7 years of plenty. But where were they coming out, these 7 stalks? From a kane. What is a kane? No, kane is a reed. You have a reed, one reed. It's like a piece of wood of some sort. And from the reed, one reed comes out, seven stalks that are healthy. What does that represent? Seven stalks coming from kane ehad. Says the Al-Sheikh, the word kane is kof nun he, is 155. Plus the word, because you can count the word as one, it's 156. Kane is the numerical value of Yosef. What he was saying is that the 7 years of plenty is not going to come only from kane ehad, from Yosef. That food is not going to be tainted by the Tumah Mitzrayim. It's going to come from a very, very, very holy place. Oh. Once we know this, says the Al-Sheikh something incredible. That means Yosef was working these years. We think he was preparing Am Yisrael to come down. If he stops working for a second, the Tum'ah will come in and Am Yisrael will reach level 50. It takes him 22 years in order to prepare the land to make it suitable for Bnei Yisrael to live for the next 210 years. If he doesn't do what he's doing in Egypt with this food and with Eshet Potiphar, protecting the Jewish people from all the Tum'ah Mitzrayim, Klai Yisrael doesn't have a chance. I'm going to ask you a simple question. If somebody's involved in the middle of a very, very intricate brain surgery, the doctor, and the doctor says the operation is a 22-hour operation. And the doctor has to sleep 3 days before so he can stay up for 22 hours straight and do this operation. And if he stops in the middle, it cannot be a success. He has to work continuously from step to step to step. Now in the middle of the operation, somebody whispers in his ear, and he says, your father's outside. He came to say hello to you. What does the doctor do? With all due respect, I have, but he's crying. He's crying. I'm in surgery. I cannot leave the surgery. This is a job that I have over here. Now, especially if, let's say, the one that's on the table is the king. I cannot leave the surgery. I have no choice. Says the Al-Sheikh, incredible. You know why Yosef could not go tell his father that he's alive? Because one of two things would have happened. Either Yaakov is going to tell him, come home now. And if he leaves even Egypt for 1 second, the Shekhinah leaves with him. And that will cause the death of hundreds of thousands of Jews. Because then they'll reach the level of 50, and therefore he has no choice. Or Yaakov is going to send down to Egypt a lot of money to redeem Yosef, and he's going to have to leave, even if he has to leave for 1 day. He says, once I leave for 1 day, I'm putting Klal Yisrael into jeopardy. The language of Al-Sheikh Ve'al-Ken, Al-Kol Devrei Hakdama Zot Asher Hayta Im Yosef, לכן מאז שהורד למצרים, from the time that he came down to Mitzrayim, has, he was quiet, שלא להזכיר ולהודיע לאביו, he didn't tell his father שעודנו חי, that he's still alive, פן יוכרח לבוא ארצה כנען, because maybe he's going to have to go to כנען to see his father. He says, כי אחר שרצון שכינתו יתברך, that once he saw that the Shekhinah is with him, he understood that as long as the Shekhinah is with me, I need to make sure that the land is deposited in Kedushah. He's the Merkabah. Ech yelech misham afilu sha'ah hat. How can he go to his father even for an hour? V'yitbatel hashrat ha-shekhinah. And the Shekhinah is going to be nullified. Mibiri yot shamit tishkon. He doesn't have a replacement. You know, if the doctor has another doctor in the operating room, he can tell the other doctor, do me a favor, take over where I left off, I'll go see my father. Fortunately, in Egypt at that time, Yosef's the only Sadiq. Chabad wasn't there, as I told you last week. So the Pasuk says, this way he explains the Pasuk, Vayhi Hashem et Yosef. God was with Yosef. Vayhi ish matzliach, and he was successful. Vayhi bebet Adonav, and he stayed by his master's house, Potiphar. He explains the reason why he stayed by his master and did not let his father know that he was alive, because Vayhi Hashem et Yosef Vayhi ish matzliach, because he knew that God was with him. And if God is with him, he cannot leave to take Shekhinah away from Egypt. Velo hishtadel lashuv lebet aviv. Ki amar, en ze ki in Shekhinah b'Mitzrayim, am de merkaba, velo amush mikan. I'm not leaving from my post. Ad tov aharit davar, until it ends. So then he asks, so send your father down. No problem, daddy, I'm alive, I can't leave, but I'm in surgery. Come down to me. I'm sending you a chauffeur, and you come down. Hazaku Baruch, what is he going to eat? What is he going to eat? There's no food for Yaakov to eat. Come down, daddy. He comes down. What's for dinner? All this Tum'at Mitzrayim food. You brought me that in. I would have brought lunchbox with me. I would have brought food with me. There's nothing. No matter. That's why I didn't want to tell you. Come down. I need to make. The God's going to make a 7 years of plenty. I'm going to take all the food. When I take all the food, I'm going to mitahir the food in my silos. I'm going to be in charge of the food. The food's not coming from Paro. It's coming from me. But you have to wait for that. Then you have to give me time. It's going to take 9 more years for me to prepare this. And that's why, when he finally tells Yosef, when Yosef finally tells his father to come down to Egypt, listen to the unbelievable language. He tells him, first go tell my father, Va'amartem elav, ko amar, bincha Yosef, so says Yosef, Samani Elohim, La'adon lekol Mitzrayim. God made me the king of Egypt, not Paro. Yosef doesn't want to come down. If he feels that he's going to be under the influence of Paro, of Tum'ah, he won't come down. He says, the fact that I'm the king, I'm not working for Paro. I'm the Merkabah of the Shekhinah. Your son is the Merkabah of the Shekhinah, Samani Elohim. Not only that, V'yashavta be'eres Goshen. You're not going to live in Cairo. We're going to put you in Goshen. I prepared that land. There's no Tuma in Goshen. And number two, v'chilkalti otcha. I'm going to feed you. Yaakov is worried. I don't want to eat from the Tuma. Yosef said, no, the food's coming from me. I waited all these years so the food will be kadosh. Yaakov Abinu would say many years before, when he would pray to God, v'natan li lechem le'echol. Please God, I want my food to come always from you, not from the Sitra Hara. So Yosef would tell him, V'chilkati otcha, the food is coming from me. All what I did all these years is to prepare such an item for you. So Klai Yisrael will be able to exist. To me, this Al Sheikh is, it's very, very, very important, very, very telling. Oh, if that's the case, I saw something incredible from Steinemann, Zichrono Levracha, Zeche Sadik V'Kadosh Levracha. The rabbi passed away this week. It was Gadol Ador. Steinemann has a sefer he wrote on Chumash called Ayelet HaShachar. I have it in my office. I felt appropriate we have to say something from the Tzaddik. We're still in the Shiva. Klai Yisrael lost a big rabbi. These are one of a million, these Tzaddikim. These are the pillars of the generation. It's a serious event. We cannot let it go unnoticed. So he says, why does Yosef make the Egyptians do Brit Milah? And Paro says, listen, I'm not starting with them. All our food's spoiling, because our food comes from the Tum'ah. The only food that's staying is because the food that the Shekhinah is with. This man over here, God's with him. His food doesn't spoil. There's something with him. Now you don't want to listen to him. If the food spoils, he'll make us spoil. So listen to what he has to say. Steinemann writes, Shamila, the Brit Mila. Why do you do a Brit Mila? Because the desires and the lust come from the Brit Milah. So therefore the Torah says, when you do the Brit Milah, you're breaking the desires. So he writes, כדי להחליש את כוח הטומאה שיהיה ראויה לבני ישראל אחר כך לגור שם. So the Jews can live in Egypt, you need to break the Tumah of Mitzrayim. And where's Ervat Mitzrayim? The Milah. So it's an order, not for the Egyptians. But by breaking the Milah of the Egyptians, now already you lowered the level of Tumah a notch. This is all part of the plan so the Jewish people could come and live in Egypt. If they don't have a Brit Milah, already the Tumah level is higher. Ladies, I repeat again, after all what Yosef did, we still reached the 49th level of Tumah. We were one step away from spiritual oblivion. Could you imagine if Yosef didn't make these preparations? By the way, that explains to me also that when the Jewish people were leaving Egypt, everybody's taking all the money, and Moshe Rabbeinu was taking the bones of Yosef. I believe that's Hakarat HaTov, that's gratitude. Moshe Rabbeinu says, if it wasn't for this man Yosef, we never would have left Egypt. All the preparations that he did, spiritual preparations, he brought a certain amount of Kiddushah to the land that will be able to live. And once we reached 210 years, God said, okay, not another second here. You must leave. But that was all because of Yosef's preparations. That's the case. I'd like to explain to you something about Yosef HaSadiq. The Berakah of God comes from a place that's called Keter. Keter is the crown. Anybody that reaches this level of Keter, that's the highest level you could reach, and from there's unlimited blessings. The blessings come down without even any question. It's the place of ultimate mercy. It's called Keter. It's from that place called Keter, the crown of God, where the 13 Midot of Rahamim come from. Kel, Rahum, Vahanun, Erech, Apayim, Rebbeinu. That's why those are 13 unmitigated measures of mercy. It's coming from the highest place of Rahamim. There's no judgments in the Keter. In the Keter, it's pure judgment. And there's few tzaddikim that are able to access the Keter and bring the Berakah down. It takes a lot of work to reach that level, to have a key to open up that level called Keter and bring the Shefa down. I saw brought down from the Mikubalim, Yosef had the key. Yosef had the key of the Keter. And he would bring down tremendous Berakah to the world, to Egypt especially. The whole world is eating from Yosef. All of Egypt, I don't know how many millions of people are eating from Yosef. The brothers come down, they're eating from Yosef. Yaakov is eating from Yosef. Paro is eating from Yosef. That means he's sustaining the whole world. All the Berakah comes from Yosef. He has the key of the Keter. Says to Mekubalim, that's why he needed to wait 13 years before he becomes the king. Each year, he was preparing himself for another growth until he would get the key to the 13 Midot of Rahamim. After 13 years, so it's a very important yeshiva what I just told, because you always learned he was in jail for 10 years, and then because he told the Sadr Mashkim, please tell the king that I'm in jail, don't forget me, because another 2 years you get punished. That's a simple interpretation. If you're happy with that, I don't have a problem with it. But if you want to know the depth, everything is from Hashem. He didn't do anything wrong, Yosef. It's called Hishtadlut. You're not allowed to tell the guy, please remember me? Why can't you tell the guy, remember me? Nothing wrong with that. You're going to see the king. Remind me. That's Hishtadlut. Explanation is, Borei Olam says, Yosef has to be 13 years before he can start bringing the berachot. Dad goes, in those years he's growing. Those were growth. He wasn't just sitting in jail doing nothing. He was elevating himself to the madrigot of the Yagmidot. And all of a sudden, boom. Year 13, he becomes the king. Bingo. All of a sudden, all the berachot start coming down to the whole entire world. Through Yosef. I'll tell you something else. If you're interested. You know that we have nekudot. Nekudot are the dots underneath the... they're called vowels? What? Not vowels, but it's the dots. That's what they told us in school, the dots. Nekudot. You can't read a word unless you have the dots. You don't know how to read a word. There's a sereh, there's a segol, there's a sheva, kubut, shuru, kholam. I don't have to tell you, you know the nekudot. But the Zohar Kadosh writes that the nekudot also come from different places. There are some nekudot that are higher in their stature than others. Hahazak. The Zohar Kadosh writes, Arizal says, the highest nekudah out of all the nekudot is the kamatz. The kamatz. Kamatz is the line and then a dot. It's a line and a dot. The kamatz, it says, comes from the keter. So anytime you see a kamatz, it's a good thing. The kamatz is a good thing. You don't know it, but when we pray in the Sidur, there's a lot of kavanot, and God's name is spelt many different ways. Sometimes they spell God's name under each letter, Yudke, Vavke, Kamatz, 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 Kamatz. When we see that name, we know you're in the highest place. That already shows. So the Nikudot tell us on the map, where are you? Ah, you see that Nikudah? Bing, you're in the highest place. Get it. You come to class to learn things that you know already or things you don't know? That you don't know. Finish. That's it. But somebody tells me, says, I never heard of that. Well, that's why you came to class, to hear things you never heard of. Or should I tell you things you know already? So then you'll tell me, oh, we know that already. So then the rabbi can never win. If you know it already, it's a repeat. And if you don't know it, you don't want to hear it. I'm telling you things that you never heard of. Your husband's never heard of it either, I guarantee it. So over here, it's the kamatz. So the Pasuk is very, very clear, by the way. The Pasuk is hinting to us. When Yosef HaSadiq Vata'as Ha'ares B'Shevach Shenei Asava, the 7 years of plenty, the Pasuk says, where did that 7 years of plenty come from? Likmatzim. Likmatzim, we told you before, means that they saved the little komets, and they put it in the storage. But the Rabbeinu Ali says, Likmatzim, it came from the kamatz. It came from the keter. Yosef reached the level of the Yud Gimel Midot, and therefore that shefa that came into this food came from the Yud Gimel Midot V'rachamim. So when Yaakov comes down, he's eating the food that comes from the highest madriga, Likmatzim. This is not telling you where they put it, it's telling you where the food came from. If the 13 years Yosef can access the chamber called Kamatz, which is Keter. Very nice. By the way, that's why the parasha is called Parashat Miketz. Miketz is the same letters as Kamatz. But that's the sword of the Miketz. So that's something on the parasha, at least. I feel I fulfilled my obligation. Though I'd have a hard time trying to connect this to Hanukkah. Although that is, that makes it very easy for us. You're on the road a little. I'll explain it to you as best as I can, then I'll let you go. Something happens when you light the menorah. The Greeks had a tremendous amount of tum'ah.
They weren't interested in killing us. They were interested in doing what the Egyptians did to us. Ervat Ha'aretz. If there's a second Ervat Ha'aretz in the world, it's Greeks. It's all immorality. I never went to Greece, but they say if you go there, all the statues are Ervat Ha'aretz. All inappropriate, all undressed, all not proper. You cannot walk. You have to walk with your eyes closed. Even the statues in the street are not couth, unethical. It's Erva Ta'ares. You see the Erva and the Ares. It's still there today, the Erva and the Ares. They were interested in not killing us. You know, when they went into the Beit HaMikdash, the Greeks, they didn't take the oil and pour it out. It says, V'timne'u et ha-shemanim. They made them impure. They didn't care if we serve God, but doing it in an impure way. They wanted to make everything toxic. That's what they did. And they tried to assimilate us through their culture of impurity. Just like the Egyptians were doing. So you need Yosef HaSadiq to come down and move the Tumah away. Problem is, Yosef HaSadiq was dead. So who came instead? Matityahu Kohen Gadol. The Mekubalim write that Matityahu Kohen Gadol is the Nitzotz of Yosef HaSadiq. Which is quite fascinating. The Yosef HaSadiq, by the way, they say that if you take the words Melech Yavan, the king of Yavan, which equals 156, Melech Yavan Gematria Yosef. That's Megale Amukot says. So they say that it's the same deja vu all over again. You have Tum'ah that's coming at you. You need a tzaddik to come along and push it away. So watch what happens. The Arizal says that just like Yosef was able to reach the Keter, on Hanukkah, when you light the menorah, you reach the Keter. Everybody. I'll tell you a remez. Why do we reach the Keter on Hanukkah? We have 613 mitzvot. There's 7 mitzvot from the rabbis. So altogether we have 620 mitzvot. The last mitzvah of the 620 is lighting the menorah. That's 620. Imagine God has a crown. And the crown has 620... what do you call it when you put the stone in? Settings, hazaka, settings. Ladies, the settings, you have 620 settings. And the holes where you put the diamond in. Prague setting, you know what I mean now. It's not my style, I'm not into jewelry, like, this is your department. You could find it out after. Whatever you tell me, I don't buy jewelry. Ask me about books, I'll tell you all the different parts of a book I can tell you. Anyway, in the settings, or the prongs as they call it, so that you give God a mitzvah, it's a diamond. He puts it in the crown, but it's still missing 619. You give him another setting, goes in a diamond, goes in mitzvot, but there's only 619. The crown is missing one. The last mitzvah is Hanukkah, the lighting. That's 620. That's why God's crown is called Keter. Keter is chaf taf resh, which equals 620, because there's 620 settings in the crown. And the last setting is Nerot Hanukkah. And once we light Nerot Hanukkah, the Arizal says, we access the Keter. That means at the moment that you're lighting Nerot Hanukkah, you're hitting the top level, and at that moment, tremendous Berachot come down. If you come to my house, I don't move for half hour. And we make all different prayers. As the Berachah is coming down from the Keter, we make all sorts of prayers. For Shidduchim, for Parnassah, for Refuah, for fertility, for whatever it may be. This is the moment that we're hitting, and you only can hit it 4.5 hours a year. During the first half hour of the 8 nights, or 4 hours a year, I guess. The 4 hours of the 8 days of Hanukkah, half hour each day. And that's why the Benu Ari says, if you look in the first Berachah, it has 13 words. Baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Kedeshan Vistav V'Sivanu Lehadik Ner Hanukkah. Sefaradim don't say Lehadik Ner Shel Hanukkah, because that would be 14 words. We say Lehadik Ner Hanukkah because we want to have exactly 13 words to activate the 13 Midot of Rahamim. that are activated exactly at the time that we light the menorah. I'm going to say this and then I'm going to let you go. I just want to say it once, so I'm on record for saying it. Whatever you understand, you understand. So you see, the story of Al Parashah and the story of Hanukkah are related. A place where there's tremendous tum'ah, and then you have a sadiq. In the case of Yosef, it was Yosef. In the case of Hanukkah, it's Matityah. Kohen Gadol, Shmonai Ubanav. And they come along and they push away the tum'ah, so the Jewish people can have a place to exist. And that's always the tzaddik of every generation. His job is to clear away the tum'ah. So when you hear rabbis get up and they speak against the vices of the generation, they're doing you a favor. They're trying to push back all this toxins that are hurting the children, that are hurting the kids, that are destroying the future generations. So they're pushing it away. Matityah, Yosef, they do the same thing. And just like Yosef reaches the Keter, the Kematzim, the Kamatz, so too on Hanukkah, every time you light the Nerot, you get a freebie, you get Chanukah gift. The Chanukah gift is, Borei Olam says, okay, you have half hour in this place, go, Chavo, you're giving me dot, come down for half hour. I'll tell you what Achab Baruch used to tell us. He used to explain it to us like this. He said, in this week's parasha, always will come out in Hanukkah. Miketz is always in Hanukkah. And he said, if you look at the end of each parasha, it tells you how many pesukim are in each parasha. I don't know why you'd want to know that, but it's nice to know as a trivia question. For example, in this week's parasha, there is 146 pesukim. Okay, now you're happy? And then you could make up stuff. 146, 146. And this rabbi, he does it on every parasha. Every parasha is 146, 127, 132. He gives you the number of every parasha. In this parasha, he does something that he doesn't do in any parasha. He says, v'hatevot, and the amount of words, alpayim chafeh. In this parasha, he decided to tell me how many words are in the parasha. He said, 2,025. And the Chacham Baruch would ask us, what in parashat Miketz, he has to tell us how many words? Ask him how many words are in parashat Hayesara. You have to count it. But in this parasha, 2025. So he said, because Miketz always comes out in Hanukkah. He says, every night, we light Ner. Ner is 250. Nunresh. And we light the Ner 8 nights. That's 250 times 8, which is 2,000. And we start it on the 25th day of Kislev. So he says, the rabbi went out of his way to tell us, and the amount of the parasha words is 2,025. That we light the Ner of 8, which equals 2,000, 250 times 8, when? Chafeh. But based on what we're saying today, I'd like to say more. Hanukkah, we connect ourselves to the highest Madrigot. Some of you come to the Mesilat Yesharim class that we give. Over there we say a lot of Hiddushim. In Wednesday's talk we said that you have to connect yourself to the tzaddik. The world exists in the merit of the tzaddik. Look at Yosef. Anybody that's connected to Yosef, the beracha comes through Yosef. He's the merkabat to the shechina. Anybody that works with Yosef has beracha by association. On Hanukkah, it was Matityah. After Hanukkah, it's the rabbis, it's the tzaddikim. You have to connect yourself to those that are living with purpose.
Because through them the beracha comes down to the world. They're the ones that are clearing the area so the people can have spiritual existence. When you light Hanukkah, we're reminded of that inyan of Yosef HaSadiq, Matityahu HaSadiq. So the Mikubalim say it like this. When you light the menorah on the first night, you light one ner. Then you light two, then you light three, then you light four. But the Mikubalim say that whenever you want to get the full measure of something, you must multiply it. You must do the exponent. On the first night, it's one times one. That's the full measure. On the second night, it's 2 plus 2. And 3 plus 3. And 4 plus 4. And 5 plus 5. And 6 plus 6. And 7 times 7. And 8 times 8. Times. That's exponent. That's times. 1 times 1 is 1. 2 times 2 is 4. 3 times 3 is 9. 4 times 4 is 16. I did this when I was in the third grade. 5 times 5 is 25. 6 times 6 is 36. 7 times 7 is 49. 8 times 8 is 64. If you take all those numbers together, which I did already before, I'll show you it over here. Well, it equals the same numerical value as the word tzaddik. Tzaddik, the tzaddik is 90. And the dalet is 4, that's 94. The yud is 10, so that's 104. And the kof is 100, is 204. Do the math on those numbers that I told you. It's exactly tzaddik, meaning that when the person lights the menorah on the 8th night, he connects himself to the same place that the tzaddik connects, to the keter. The tzaddik connects himself every second. We can only connect ourselves during the 8 nights of Hanukkah. But at that moment, we're in the same place of the tzaddik. And through the tzaddik comes all the blessings without any of the Greek influence, without any of the toxins. We reach the place of the kamatz, of the highest level. And therefore I say, ladies, we must take advantage of these moments. Of course, any moment that's very special, the Tum'ah grabs onto it. There's no holiday that has more attachment of the Kilipot than Hanukkah. Hanukkah has become so commercialized by the secular world, and they hold on to it. They turn it into a secular holiday. I have a good reason for it, but not for now. But the lesson for us is that just like in Mitzrayim, Yosef needed to prepare the ground in order to allow his father and brothers to come down and exist for the next 210 years. Matityahu did the same thing for Klal Yisrael in the times of the Greeks. And they both accessed the highest level of Keter. It took Yosef 13 years to reach it. 1 year per Midah. And Yohanan and Matityahu, the Midrash says, Rashi brings it down in Parashat Zot HaMeracha. How many were in the group of Matityahu? 13. There was 13 in the group. The same concept, in order to arouse the 13 midot of Rahamim, and then Be'azat Hashem will be fulfilled on us, like we say in the Ma'osur. In the Ma'osur we say that Yevanim nikbesu alai, the Greeks came upon us, Bimei Ashmanaim, Ufarsu Homot Migdalai, they breached the wall. And then it says, Uvetim'u kol Hashemanim, and they impurified all the oils. And then we say, Bnei Bina is the wise ones, the smart ones. Yemesh Mona, they established 8 days. It says, Bnei Bina, Yemesh Mona, Kabu Shiru Nanim, they established a holiday for the ages of song and praise. In that chapter of the Ma'osud, it says, it calls the Jewish people in that, besides we call B'nei Bina, it calls us Na'asa Nes LeShoshanim. The miracle happened to the roses. We're called the roses. Why are we called the roses? The Zohar HaKadosh says, because a perfect rose has 13 petals. And the Jews also are connected to the 13 Midot of Rahamim. So in that song, they hinted, Na'asa Nes L'shul. Now, I know you're going to go to the store, you're not going to see it. They don't have them today. All the roses you have today are fake. The real roses in the olden days had 13. So we pray that Be'azat Hashem, we should access the Ketan of the Yud Gimel Midot, like Yosef did. And then Be'azat Hashem, Ksat mina or dohe harbe mina choshek. A little light pushes away a lot of darkness. And then we'll be zocheh to all the berachot from the kematzim, from the place of kamatz. And then God will give us beracha ad b'lidai. Amen. Ken yirat zon.